All right, welcome to the Free Stretch, week 12 edition here on the show. I'm Bobby Fenton coming to you on a Saturday morning this time, a little belated this Thanksgiving week, and I apologize for that, but nevertheless, we're going to get something going today because we got a big one on Sunday afternoon as the Bucks take on the Chiefs at 4:25. And, you know, my dad and my uncle, they were high school football coaches. I grew up on the sidelines of many, many, many high school football games. And one of the phrases I came to learn through all those years was nut-cutting time. That's what we're in right now for the Bucks after that tough loss to the Rams on Monday night. A bye week coming up on the horizon here this next week. But before that, the best team in the NFL, or at least what many believe is the best team in the NFL, and the defending Super Bowl champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, come to town. And I'll tell you this right now, folks. You know, that loss on Monday was bad. No loss is good, but that one, it felt like a game both before and during the game that the Bucs were going to find a way to win. And when it didn't happen, you know, that one actually hit me harder than the Saints loss, to be quite honest with you. And yet, after a few days have passed, and you get a little perspective in the rearview mirror, what do we all know right now? Now, here's what I know. That no matter how bad you felt or what you thought about the Rams game or what you thought about this team, because the Rams game made you think that, none of it will matter if the Bucks beat the Chiefs. Like, you realize that, right? Like, you know, all this, whatever negative crap there is, just vanishes if the Bucks beat the Chiefs. Just like that. And so, we'll talk about it today because, yeah, it's not as simple a black and white thing. I mean, I felt all season long like the Bucks were a top-level team, and they're still good, but the Rams game got to me. It really did get to me more than the Saints game. That Saints game a few weeks ago, I said, okay, you know what, burn the tape, throw it out, no big deal, it happens. Wasn't their night. I was ready to move on from that 10 minutes after the game ended. But this one on Monday, and we're going to talk about it on the show today, this one is the one that made me feel like, yeah, the Bucks are good, but they're not, like, upper tier good. They're in that second level of teams. Like, yeah, they'll probably make the playoffs. They're still going to do that. The NFC South is not looking great right now. And, you know, going on the road as a wild card, it's not that big of a deal or anything. I mean, obviously, you don't want to have to do that. Either way, unless you're the one seed, you're not getting any buys anymore the way they have the playoffs now. But, man, I thought the Bucks would win that Rams game, like, more than I thought they'd win. Like, I was really comfortable about that game going in, and it, not just the way that they lost, but you know, two times now I look back, and when you watch football nowadays, especially in the modern day with the passing game and the rules and everything the way they are, how often do you see a team needing a field goal late, you know, whatever it is, 2 minutes to go, 2:35 I think the Bucks had when they got the ball back against the Rams, or even if it's like a minute and a half and they've got a timeout or two? I mean, aren't you almost surprised when teams don't get into field goal range? I mean, they always get there. And if they have enough time, like the Chiefs last week, when they were losing to the Raiders and they needed a field goal, they just went ahead and scored a touchdown. Like, it's really hard to get stops in those situations. You almost always see teams just go right down there, bing, 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 just get their passes completed, get into field goal range, pop one through, and get what they're looking for. So the Bucks on Monday night, when they were down to the Rams, and the Rams had the ball, and they were trying to run the clock out. The defense, to its credit, got a couple of big stops in the fourth quarter when the team needed it, and the Rams punted. And I was doing math in my head thinking, okay, the Bucs should get this back with about a minute 30, a minute 40 left, X amount of timeouts, whatever. And it actually ended up being even better. They got it before the two-minute warning. So when we got the ball with 2:30-something to go, and we're down by three, I'm thinking, okay, no problem. Like, this is an easy drive to get into field goal range. You don't even have to worry about the clock. It's not even a factor. Just go get your 3 points. We'll see what happens in overtime. And then the interception by Brady. Is, you know, I think back to the Bears game. That's twice now this year. Twice that the Bucs have been, they've had the ball down by a field goal or less where they needed a field goal with the ball and, like, a couple minutes to work with. Both in primetime, because the Bears game was the other one on a Thursday night a little over a month ago. And twice now where they couldn't even get into field goal range and even get an attempt. You know, it's one thing if you get there and then you miss or something happens. Okay, well, what are you going to do? But they haven't even been able to get into field goal range twice now in late game drives. And so that was disappointing. Obviously, seeing the offense fail as frequently as it did against the Rams was an issue, and these are all things I want to talk about today because they're part of a bigger picture, so we will get to them. If you want to give me an email or find me on Twitter, the handle's the same. On the email, it's bobbygameday@yahoo.com, B-O-B-B-Y-G-A-M-E-D-A-Y, bobbygameday@yahoo.com on Twitter, @bobbygameday, and I always love hearing from you guys, so you can drop me some emails or things. I'll read an email or two I got this week. I always love, not that I love when the Bucks lose, but I always love getting the emails from you guys after losses. And I'm honestly honored because I get a lot of emails that are not just people ranting and yelling, but truly like heartfelt, like introspective emails from people saying, "Oh, Bobby, like I'm really upset about this loss and yeah, I need to hash it out." That's what I'm here for. I love getting those. Send me, I don't want the Bucks to lose. I'd rather get happy emails or no emails if the Bucks win. But some of you guys really like are reflective about this stuff, which I appreciate. So the free stretch, as it always is, if you want to talk about being appreciative, it's brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, our good friends there. And they are appreciative of you as customers, so much so that they're willing to actually make sure you don't have to do anything that's out of your comfort zone if you want to buy a car. And that means especially during the time of COVID right now. If you don't want to go to the site, and they have a great showroom. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. It's just north of Hillsboro. And you can go do everything there with plenty of social distancing and all the precautions. But if you'd rather stay at home, they'll bring you the car. And not just the one you're going to buy. They'll do that for sure. But if you want to test drive a car, just go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, C-U-R-R-I-E. And it's BillCurryFord.com. All you got to do is see everything they got there on the lot, used, pre-owned, whatever it is. Say, hey, could you bring over that, 2019 Ford Escape I saw, here's the model number. They'll drive it to your house. You can test drive it around your neighborhood or whatever, or your office, anything. And if you do buy a car there, of course, you get the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty. You have that car. As long as you're the owner of the car, you bought it at Bill Curry Ford, you can bring it back in there. If there's engine trouble, you're covered under the warranty, which is huge to me. So all those things are great. Sean Sullivan, the GM, good friend of mine, go check him out, BillCurryFord.com, or see them in person a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. So looking at this offense, this is what I want to talk about today. A couple things bothering me. If you listen to my show every week, you remember how I talk about how running backs are overrated, how you shouldn't spend a lot of capital to acquire them, how you can get them almost anywhere, and the odds of getting a good running back are almost the same whether you draft one in the second or third round or whether you get one in free agency off the street. And so watching the Bucks offense lately, and more specifically Monday night, it hit me. I was wrong to say running backs don't matter. In the Bucks offense, it's pretty clear the running back does matter. He just doesn't matter as a running back. The running backs need to be good receivers. And honestly, if they can't do that well, I don't really care about what they do as runners. Look, the Carolina game was a close game. It was 20-17. The Bucks were backed up on their own goal line, and Ronald Jones broke off the 98-yarder. That was a huge play, and the Bucks might not win that game without that play, admittedly. But that's an aberration for the most part. For the most part, there haven't been very many running plays that change the course of a game, okay? Well, not any single running play. Collectively, there's been plenty of running plays that change the course of a game. And I'm talking about the dozens now of first down handoffs that we take that we basically just donate the down, just give the down away, and get ourselves into second and eight and second and nine. Those matter. But there's very few individual running plays that are broken off like that 98-yarder that are huge game-changing plays. So yeah, that part, I was right. The running back situation, it's not worth the time we dedicate to it. But as receivers, yeah, it does matter. And Tom Brady is missing a running back in this offense that he can rely on to dump off to out of the backfield, to go out and run some routes, and to catch the ball. Now, if you look at what happened on Monday night, there were several drops by the running backs. And, of course, there was another one that Fournette had that probably everybody counted as a drop. But I thought Brady made a poor throw. He threw it like at Mach 4 to Fournette from like 4 yards away, and it was low and by his knees. And it hit Fournette's hands. But I didn't blame Fournette for that one. But there were several other ones, too. And just, what actually is important about a running back in this day and age, and especially in this offense with Tom Brady, is their ability to affect the passing game, whether it's in blitz pickup or more so, whether it's going out and catching passes. So The Bucs running backs right now have the worst yards per catch numbers in the NFL, not just this year, but in the past decade. Ronald Jones is dead last, I believe, and Fournette's only a few spots above him. And that's yards per actual catch, never mind yards per attempt, which would take into account all the incomplete passes to running backs, of which there are many. So, if you look at that overall, I mean, I started to wonder Monday night, and maybe this is the future of the NFL. Do you even need a running back to play running back? What if you had Scotty Miller playing running back and running out of the backfield and catching? I know he couldn't do it yet. I'm talking about this is a long-term thing. I'm not saying just put Scotty Miller in. I'm just talking out of my ass right now. But seriously, isn't it better to have another receiver at that running back position? And they did it a few times with Antonio Brown against Carolina. I mean, honestly, we need a guy who can catch the ball, right? Teach him the blitz pickup stuff. And I don't really care if you have a Brahma Bull, whatever, running. I don't care. It just doesn't matter. But we need a guy who can, hey, everybody ran deep routes. There's tons of room underneath. Doink. Just dump it under him. He's going to get 15 yards. Make somebody miss in the open field. That type of thing. Because it kills your offense when you can't do that. And it's so demoralizing for a defense when you're able to cover everything downfield. And it doesn't matter because then you get hit underneath. And then you try and collapse underneath. Then they go downfield. That's how you beat these defenses. They can't cover the whole field. You always find the spot you can beat them. And then you beat it till they take that away. And then they give you something else. But the Bucs running backs are making that very hard right now. And I'm not blaming them for the entire offense's problems. But I'm saying that that's an issue. Another big issue with this offense right now, like I just said, stop giving away first down. I mean, if you look at their first down numbers overall, the Bucs offense, they're 24th in the league in first down EPA, which is not where you need to be, obviously. And, you know, you look at third down percentage for this team, and they're in the top half of the league. And you say, oh, well, you know, that's what's really important is the money down, right? Third down? No, actually, what's really important, let me tell you something. It's not how good you are on third down, necessarily. It's can you avoid being in third down at all? The best offenses don't just pick up a lot of third downs on third and six. They just don't have third and six. Like, they get the first down again on first and second down of their it just never flips over to third down. Because no matter how good you are on third down, if you're facing a lot of third downs, you're not going to convert all of them. You're going to end up with punts. But the offenses that are efficient, the offenses that move the ball, they stay out of third down altogether, and they do that by staying ahead of the sticks, by not being in second and eight and second and nine and second and seven over and over and over. And, you know, running the ball on first down in and of itself isn't a crime. But when you look at some of these fronts they were running into, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, if you spread it out and you're humming and you got four wide and then you do a little handoff and boom, guy gets 8 yards, that's great. I mean, I'm not against running just to say I hate running. But, I mean, the Rams on Monday night were putting, you know, eight guys in the box, seven, eight guys in the box. And we're just running right into the teeth of that. And you can get mad at Leonard Fournette or Ronald Jones all you want, but you ain't going to get any yards doing that. Like, you have to have space. So seeing the Bucs just banging their head against the wall over and over just to satisfy some sort of whatever criteria they think they have for play calling was frustrating. And like I always say, I'm not a pro football coach. I never played past the high school level. I coached a little bit at the high school level, too. Great, whatever. And all these guys, Byron Leftwich, Bruce Arians, Clyde Christensen, all of them, they've all forgotten more about football in the last week than I'll ever know in my entire life, admittedly. But I'm, you know, all of us are capable of watching the game and being able to say, okay, well, that's not working. And it's not working again. You just did it again. It didn't work again. Okay, well, it's still not working a quarter later, and we're still doing it. You know, the Bucs offense on first down is putting them behind the chains, as the saying goes. And even if you convert a few of those third downs that you're eventually going to face, you're not going to convert them all. And so, and then you look at Tom Brady, same thing. Like, Tom Brady, you know, the downfield passing game, it's gotten worse. I mean, in the Bucs' defense, it wasn't like they just haven't been able to do this all year and they insist on doing it. Tom Brady, first of all, no quarterback in the NFL has attempted more passes of 20 yards or longer in the entire season than Brady has. He's got 58 of them, and that's Bruce Arians' offense. But again, we know Tom Brady, that's not his main thing, yet here we are. But in the last four games, compared to the first seven games, there's been a big, big drop-off. In the first seven games, Brady, on passes just of 20 yards or more, We're just isolating that one category. He went 17 for 39 on such plays. Three TDs, no picks. His passer rating was 116.1. In the four games since, and the Bucs are 2-2 in these four games, which I guess looking back is pretty good. But in the last four games, passes 20 yards or more. Brady 1 for 19, no touchdowns, three picks. The rating is an even 0.0, Mr. Blutarski. And the only completion was a 44-yarder to Rob Gronkowski. So, you know, you look at that two-minute drill Monday night. I mean, everybody loves the downfield ball when it gets completed, but they didn't need to be throwing into the teeth of the Rams cover two there. They had plenty of time. It wasn't like they were getting down to some desperation heave, and they were at like the 30. I should have looked it up. They weren't buried deep in their own territory at the 30, 35-yard line, whatever it was. Go get 8, 10, 12 yards at a time, three or four of those, and Suckup can tie the game, and we can work with that. But they just didn't give themselves a chance, and Brady, you know, admittedly, he said, you know, he misread the coverage. It does happen. I thought Bruce Arians, and I'm not privy to their relationship, but I thought Bruce Arians could have stood to have just kind of taken it easy on, I don't want to say Brady's not a big boy and he can't handle it, but we don't need Bruce Arians up there with a guy who, you know, is a Hall of Fame quarterback and widely regarded as the best of all time. We don't need Bruce Arians up there saying, oh, right, that, we can't have that. We got to get more. We know that, and Tom Brady knows that. Like, you don't have to. I think Brady, I mean, I don't know how Brady feels, but it wouldn't surprise me if he chafed a little bit at some of the stuff Bruce Arians says in his press conferences. It's not the most pressing issue maybe in the whole wide world, but it's something where, you know, I'd prefer, I don't know. Again, it might not be an issue at all, but I just, it's nothing we can't all see anyway. And I think Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich need to look at themselves a little more closely too and say, are we putting our quarterback in the best position to win? Yes, we know what he's done in his career. Yes, we know how good he is. But he's good at certain things more than others, and I don't think they've been necessarily putting him or this offense in the best position to succeed lately. Now, the Chiefs come to town. That's not a bad thing for the Bucs offense, okay? Let's look at this game. Forget about the Rams game. We're done with that. Let's look ahead to what's going to happen on Sunday afternoon. We all know about Patrick Mahomes. We all know about the Chiefs offense. The Chiefs defense has given up 30 points in back-to-back games. They only were able to win that game against the Raiders because Mahomes engineered two big fourth-quarter drives. They did not sack Derek Carr, who had a day where he completed almost 75% of his passes through three touchdowns. And went up and down the field with ease on that Chiefs defense. So they can be had. If you look at the DVOA numbers, and we'll look at this real quick, getting ready for this matchup. Kansas City's number 4 in overall DVOA. The Bucs are number 2. As far as offense versus defense, the Chiefs offense is number 1 against the number 2 defense in the Bucs. Now, obviously, the Bucs defense of late hasn't played like that, but their overall season DVOA is still number 2. And then offense, or when the Bucs are on the field offensively, the Bucs are number 8 in DVOA against the Chiefs, 14th overall defense. The Chiefs are 10th against the pass, 30th against the rush. So, if you look at the matchup, and the Chiefs have a turnover margin, by the way, of plus 8, which is 3rd in the NFL. You know, I don't think this is a game, and the spread's only 3.5 for the Chiefs, which some people might think is a little bit low, and maybe on Sunday afternoon it will prove to be low. But I actually feel pretty good about this matchup. I was surprised. I guess I shouldn't say surprised, but I was on Twitter just messing around last night. And Creative Loafing, which is not a sports publication, but it's kind of like a leisure and, you know, entertainment type of magazine. Like, it's been out. It's been in Tampa for, you know, since I was a kid. I remember Creative Loafing. No problem with Creative Loafing. But they tweeted out some article that one of their people wrote. And the entire article is about how the Bucs have no chance against the Chiefs. Oh, my God, have you seen Patrick Mahomes and how good these guys are? There's no way the Bucs will be able to stop these guys. I just don't think they can win. And I was like, you know, and the Bucs may not win the game. I have no idea what's going to happen Sunday. But the spread of this game is 3.5. You'd think like this was like Kent State taking on Alabama or something. Like, can they? The line is 40. There's no way. It's just impossible. It's David versus Goliath. I mean, come on. The Bucs have a very good chance in this game. And I think defensively the Chiefs can be had, and, you know, hopefully, considering what the Bucs offense has been through the last few weeks, that'll be just the antidote they need. Now, again, looking at what's going on the other side of the ball, they're going to get Sammy Watkins back, is Kansas City. He's been out with a hamstring for a while now. Meanwhile, let's look at the injury report for the Bucs. Jamel Dean is out with concussion-like symptoms, so he's not going to play. Offensively, Donovan Smith and Ali Marpet are both questionable. Marpet, and by the time you listen to the show, there may have been more news. Marpet's been practicing. The way to get out of the concussion protocol is you have to go through practice and do a normal practice, and then after the practice, show no symptoms or signs of anything, and whatever. I'm not sure what all the tests are that they run, but until he's cleared, and he has not been cleared, he can't play, even though he has been practicing. So that may happen by kickoff. As of right now, he's questionable. Bucks certainly need him, especially because A.Q. Shipley, and hey, hats off to A.Q. Shipley. His career ended on Monday night, and it wasn't anything crazy that you saw on TV, but he injured his neck, and apparently he's got something where it's not really safe for him to play again, and Bruce Arians said his career ended on Monday. He will not play, not just this season, but anymore, and that he has had thoughts of maybe going into coaching, and that's something that Bruce Arians said they absolutely want to give him a shot with. So, you know, no matter who wins or loses any of these games, it kind of made me, you know, reminded me, like, these guys really do lay it on the line, like, every single play. Like, not just every game, but every play. And there's Buster next door, my good friend. Don't worry about him. He loves the sound of my voice. He gets excited when I do the shows here on the patio. But no, seriously, like, think about that. Like, every single time, like, think about your job, and then you go to work every day. And it could be any of us, but, you know, that's life. It's not like football, necessarily. But just a routine, okay, let's go do this, and then, oh yeah, you're never doing this again. That was your last time ever doing that one thing that you do. You've done your whole career. And, like, A.Q. Shipley probably didn't think much of whatever his final play was, probably trotted out there and snapped the ball. And then, oh yeah, that's it. No, you're not coming back out. Ever. So, all these guys, I mean, really, like, they put a lot on the line every single time, and our thoughts go out to A.Q. Shipley, who I hope has a great coaching career. But yeah, now you're without him, too, so if Marpet can't play, if Marpet can, you can kind of get back to normal. But now I guess you're looking at, you got to go back to center with Jensen. You got Aaron Stinney, who can come in at guard. Hopefully Donovan, at least one of Donovan Smith. I have a feeling Donovan Smith will play. He's got an ankle thing, so it's not a concussion. It's not anything that he has to rely on other people to tell him if he can play. I got a feeling he'll go. So you got him back at left tackle. You can go Stinney at guard. You can go Jensen at center. Kappa's still good to go, and then Worf's is still good to go. So, you know, at least if Smith can play, you just go to a backup guard. And if Marpet and Smith can both play, that'll be a big boost for the Bucks. Let's hope they are able to do that. And either way, we haven't had any COVID issues. I want to talk about this for a little while because the Ravens-Steelers thing has become, it's been moved to Tuesday night now, in case you hadn't heard that yet. It was originally going to be on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, which was a big loss. Not that I want to complain with my first world problems, but I'm sitting there watching Utah State and New Mexico on Thanksgiving night, and they're both 0-4, and I'm just doing whatever I can. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to get something going with the sports on TV. There wasn't much Thanksgiving night. I was counting on that Ravens-Steelers game, so then it got bumped to Sunday, and then they say, okay, let's do Tuesday instead. Now, that's actually a good thing, because this is a great week for football to begin with, as far as having football every day. If you go back to Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, we've had either pro or college or both on every single day going all the way through now to next Tuesday. So that's a six-day run where we're going to have games on. And so my Tuesday night just got better, I suppose, with the Ravens and Steelers getting moved. But there was talk about that game possibly being forfeited. And now we're in a situation where it's late in the year and we don't have any bye weeks left for anybody. And so if there's a problem with COVID for any particular team or even a position group on a certain team, it could really put the NFL season into a tizzy. Now, they've got the Week 18 thing still sitting there. They don't want to use it, but if they had to use it, they could use it. Of course, we've talked about on this show how the Super Bowl scheduled for February 7th can go as far back as the end of February if they need to. Those are all kind of nuclear options. You know, we'll see if it comes to pass. But right now, if everything goes according to plan, they'll still be able to play Ravens-Steelers on Tuesday. And Lamar Jackson will not play, even though it's been moved back, because he's one of the guys with the COVID. So he has to sit out. And he's hoping just to play next Thursday, and or whatever it is. They're not going to play Thursday. But whatever their next week's game is, whenever that happens, you know, that'll have to be moved, I guess, as well. So they're working it out. They're piecing it together. And I'll tell you what. This is what you got to do. You got to roll with it. We said before the season, everybody said, oh, this is stupid. How are they doing this? Why are they doing this? It can be done, and it is getting done. And so far, every single game has been played to this point. If, for whatever reason, every single game can't be played, or at least every single game that has even one team in it with any type of playoff implications, they're going to add another wild card, an eighth seed, basically. It's always been six teams, four division winners and two wild cards. This year, and not even because of COVID, they were going to do this anyway, I think, they went to a third wild card, a seventh team, for the first time ever. And if they feel like the playoff race is compromised in any way, they're going to go to eight, and there won't be any buys. Now, from the Bucks' standpoint, that's probably good news at this point because it doesn't look like they're going to win the South. And so, I mean, even with the old, if there was the old school, just two wild cards, six total teams, I'd be a little nervous right now. I'd still feel good about the Bucks' chances. I mean, after this weekend with the Chiefs, they get the bye week, which they sorely need. And then the schedule gets a little easier down the stretch. You get Atlanta twice, Detroit, and Minnesota. Those are all teams below 500. Minnesota's not bad. They've been playing better lately, but they're still, I mean, that's a stretch where you should be able to go 3-1. And if you can't go 3-1 in that stretch in December, then we're probably wasting all of our time anyway, gnashing our teeth about their playoff chances, because what were we really hanging on to? So if they could somehow beat the Chiefs, that would be gangbusters. But let's talk about worst case scenario. Let's say they lose again. They can't beat Kansas City. That'd put them at 7-5 going into the bye with three games left. And at that point, you got to go 3-1 to get to 10-6. Which I think they should be able to do. Now, would 10-6 be disappointing? On one hand, yes. On the other hand, fast forward to exactly 1 year ago, before we knew anything about Tom Brady being a Buccaneer, before we knew anything about, you know, all the stuff that's happened to this franchise in the last year. What if I told you 1 year ago, when the Bucs were just in the doldrums like they always are in Thanksgiving, if I'd said, hey, a year from now, not only are the Bucks going to be looking at 10-6, but you're actually going to be kind of pissed off that they're only going to be 10-6. You thought it could have been 12-4. If I told you that a year ago, you would have gone crazy, right? Like, oh man, I'm going to be disappointed with 10-6. I'd love to be disappointed with 10-6. Because here we are right now, I'm telling you, I'll be disappointed with 10-6. But if they can beat the Chiefs, they got a chance to go 11-5. Or if they lose, they could still go 4-0 down the stretch. This is a game on Sunday, like I said at the top of the show. It's nut-cutting time. This is your chance to erase any of those negative feelings, because that loss to the Rams will feel like a million years ago if they beat Patrick Mahomes and company on Sunday. And I think they have a decent chance to do that. I think that this team can score points against Kansas City's defense, and they're obviously going to have to, because the defense, no matter how well they do, it's the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs are going to score. And let's talk about that. Knowing what you know about the Chiefs' offense and our defense, what point total would I have to throw out there where you'd say, yeah, I'll take that for Kansas City? Like, if I told you Kansas City was going to score 24 points, every single one of you would be all over that. Like, oh, yeah, I'll take that. Do what we got to do, but I'll take that. If I told you the Chiefs were going to score 31 points, I think I'd probably take that too, right? Like, if I thought about that for a minute, I'd probably say, yeah, I mean, that's about as well as you could hope. I'll take that and see if the Bucks can't get 34, you know? And obviously, if they get up into more than that, the high 30s or 40s, I don't like the Bucks' chances that much. But, I mean, you're going to have to grin and bear it a little bit. They ain't going to score 10 points on us. It's going to be more than that. And the Bucks' offense is going to have to fight fire with fire. So let's see if they're able to do that and make the necessary adjustments. I hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. Before we go, I know that, again, I wanted to do a show earlier, but I got family in town staying at the house, haven't had a chance to record, and I did have a good Thanksgiving. I wanted to say this about Thanksgiving, though. I should have said it last week before Thanksgiving, but I feel like sometimes we need to simplify. You know, keep it about the people. I'm not saying keep it smaller with the people, although with COVID this year, a lot of people did keep it smaller, but I was here at my house for Thanksgiving with my wife's side of the family then, went to my mom's later that day, and with my mom and my uncle and my grandma and all that. And at both places, there were massive amounts of food, like far more food than we really needed. All homemade. And my wife, who works full time, was coming home every day this week and cooking into the night, like, for 2-3 days in advance of Thanksgiving, like spending hours in the kitchen. And she enjoyed, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like she was slaving, because it's something she wants to do. Believe me, if it was up to me, I'd go to, you know, whoever restaurant down the street and order it up and be done with it. That's kind of my point. Like, she did all this work, then we ate, and I ate a little bit, you know. It was good. I mean, my wife's a good cook. I'm not saying the food wasn't good, but honestly, like, at both her house and my mom's house, all this food, all the leftovers, and honestly, I could have just gone for a Chipotle, double meat. Give me some of that white rice with black beans. Give me a little queso. Give me the diet. Like, what I like to do, I like to go double meat, one chicken, one steak, and then throw on some sour cream, some cheese, maybe some lettuce. And nothing I had over Thanksgiving could even touch that. And we all rant and rave about Thanksgiving food. I honestly think Thanksgiving food is very overrated. And I think most of the time, I could have even gone for Taco Bell. I would have been just as happy, maybe even happier than all this stuff that took all this manpower and hours. So keep it about the people. Keep having the people over. Don't be afraid to call it in. Don't die on that hill. Don't martyr yourself. Oh, I cooked this turkey, by the way. I have never once to this day had a good Thanksgiving turkey. It has yet to happen. And I'm 40. And maybe you say, oh, Bobby, your family doesn't know how to do it. I know how to cook a turkey. I'm sure you do. The deep fried ones are good. Every once in a while, I've had one of those that was good. I've never had turkey. I was like, oh, this is a good turkey. Turkey sucks. Put a, you know, London broil on the grill for all I care. But we don't have to be married to these traditions just because we think this is what we're supposed to do. Go get Chipotle for Thanksgiving. It'll, first of all, you won't have to work. It'll just be ready to eat. And second of all, it still will cost less than whatever you spent on Thanksgiving. You know, it's fine. It really would have been fine. I had a great time seeing my family and everybody that came in town or over at my mom's or whatever. But the food, I was just thinking of the work to pleasure ratio. And it was just, man, like a lot. I mean, I know my mom worked really hard and her food was good too. The food, I'm not talking about the food quality here. My wife's food was good. But seriously, like I could have just got, go to Carrabba's. Get me a chicken Brian from Carrabba's. Boom, done. There's Thanksgiving dinner. You don't have to do anything else. It's really easy. Call it in. Think of all that extra time you could have spent with your family, hanging out, doing whatever, instead of slaving and then all the cleanup. I can only imagine the cleanup. I helped a little bit with the cleanup here, of course, but, you know, even that, I'm just kind of getting in the way. Whenever my wife's in the kitchen, I'm just in the way, even if I'm trying to help, if I'm in the kitchen too. So, you know, just some food for thought, no pun intended. And just don't be afraid. Don't say, oh, we have to do it this way. I have to. It doesn't count if I didn't work for it. Sure it does. Just get it from Carrabba's or somewhere. I can assure you your guests won't care, and you'll be happier. Now, I can't say any of this to my wife. She doesn't listen to my show, so I can say it here, because next year she's going to go right back out there. And her dishes were excellent. We do have leftovers, and the fridge, that part's great, I guess. But it didn't have, you know, it could have been a lot less stressful. But again, if you enjoy it, that's fine too. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me @BobbyGameDay. I just want to say my piece on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not overrated at all. I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving food specifically is what I'm saying is overrated. Most specifically turkey, which I don't know how that whole thing got as entrenched as it did, but there's a lot of different ways you can go. It doesn't have to be turkey. We will talk next week, of course. We'll be looking at the bye week by then, the latest one the Bucks have ever had, and hopefully we'll be talking about an 8-4 football team coming off a win over the defending Super Bowl champions. But either way, we'll get on, you know, at that point it'll be a chance to reset, look at these final four games as the Bucks get ready to take on a little bit easier schedule in the final month. But man, it all sets up so much more nicely with a W here. Do not believe the hype. Hey, everybody's down on the Bucks right now. Nobody cares. Oh, the Bucks, they're not good anymore. Now it's all about the upper-level teams like the Chiefs. Everybody loves the Chiefs this week. Although, again, that spread is only 3.5. That's hardly an insurmountable type of thing. But the Bucks can win this game. And if they do, the outlook on the season is going to do a 180-degree turn from where it was on Tuesday morning after that Rams game. Either way, we'll be back next week to hash it all out. I hope you've had a great Thanksgiving on Thursday. I hope you continue to have a great Thanksgiving weekend. This weekend, thanks to our friends at Bill Curry Ford for taking care of us and sponsoring the show. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. And thanks to all of you for listening. Have a great weekend. Round out the holiday weekend with a W, hopefully, and be safe. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.